Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We are joined by Jay Savas of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk about the operation follow-through as we get ready for the election next week. I'm also going to tell you that tonight we have on our show a Jim Rome segment. I think you'll enjoy that. Jim Rome joins us. We also have a weather update with Art Patrici and news for newly arrived immigrants that don't speak English with Jim Hudnail. And we are joined by Jay Savas of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Operation follow-through, Jay, you call this a nonpartisan but very enthusiastic. It's a reminder for people to vote, right?
Absolutely correct, Phil. Operation follow-through is just what it says it is. We've seen over the last several months the interest that people are having in this election. You know, it's interesting because there seems to be more than interest in this election in the year 2000 or in 1996, which is kind of interesting. And so we had a meeting with Major Newton last week. He recommended that people were that interested in this election, if they're going to get all jazzed about this election, then we would be, you know, part of the get out to vote. And so that's what we're involved in, a follow through to election day, get people to vote, minimize the possibility of a terrorist threat by those who have disdain for our government by not voting. And
so people who don't vote, you think, are an example of people who will encourage terrorist activity. By the way, I saw a thing today where there's another Al-Qaeda threat.
We have been following that very closely, Phil. There's apparently an Al-Qaeda threat. We don't know whether this is a bona fide individual on the tape the CIA is looking at right now, but it's proactive what we're doing. We'll be visiting homes around the country for the next several days, asking people if they're going to vote, and if they respond yes, then of course we do ask them who they're going to vote for.
Now, why would you ask them who they're going to vote for?
That gives us an indication if they are committed to voting, as opposed to just, you know, as we say in law enforcement, it's kind of giving us a spiel or feeding us a line. You know, we want to make sure that if they say they're going to vote, that they're not, you know, standing there, you know, telling a lie, because we're trying to save lives. And if they have previously told us that they weren't going to vote, then, of course, we do have to deal with that as well. But on the day of the election, we will go to our Phase 2 operation, and we'll go back to those homes and businesses and tell people that it's voting day and get out and vote.
You say you're going to tell people that they're to vote?
Yes, sir.
And yet we know it's not legally mandatory thing to do. It's an optional thing, technically.
Well, technically, you know, it's funny, so the law is very fuzzy on it. It doesn't really come out and state that it's mandatory to vote, but we have seen a rise in interest in this campaign. I did have a discussion with Major Newton of the Citizens Auxiliary Police Command Commission. He told me that he sees interest in the campaign.
Well, there is a lot of interest.
But because of that, we're going to do what we can to see that people follow through on it, because it's one thing to say you're going to vote. It's another thing to follow through and then you don't vote. And so you have, you know, you've lied to us, and certainly we're going to take that into consideration.
What is the, traditionally in our country, people don't want to say who they're going to vote for. It's a very private thing.
I understand that, yes.
When you ask people who they're going to vote for, you're sort of intruding on an area that is a little bit of personal space.
It's a good point, Phil. Although this election is so important that someone's going to tell you they're going to vote, and then they're just feeding you a line of, you know, feeding you a line of baloney or something. And certainly I don't want to be in a position where someone's telling me something's not true. So if I ask them who they're going to vote for, at least that gives me an idea that they've read up on the issues, and certainly we'll follow through. Someone says to me, I'm going to vote for Senator Kerry. I'll say, oh, really? What's his, you know, so you know his position, for instance, on, you know, health care or that kind of deal. Just make sure they're not feeding you a line of baloney or something. That's all we're trying to do. We're not trying to intrude on anyone, but we do want to know who you're going to vote for. That way we know you're not feeding us baloney and trying to lie to us and trying to get around the whole deal.
Jay Savas of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us. Operation Follow Through is their attempt to get people out to vote. It'll be beginning tomorrow across the country. They'll be going door to door, reminding people to vote, questioning people as to their voter intention, and basically trying to get people motivated.
Get people motivated, remind people that we're going to be back on Election Day on November 2nd. And, you know, it's one of those deals where we're going to come back, and I'll go to the door, I'll see a guy, today's voter day, and again, it's kind of a red flag if he's still at home. On election day, if he said to me he's going to go out and vote, or she said, or any member of that family, well, have you? And now I come back to the house, the guy's still there. See, right there, there's a red flag, because now I'm thinking maybe he was feeding me some baloney. And so what I want to do is make sure that he's reminded of his, what he said he was going to do. All right, so that's why we go back to the House and remind people about that. Because, well, anybody feels some baloney, then it sort of compromises us.
So if they don't know about the candidates, it's more likely they're not interested to vote.
That is correct.
But if they have no intention of voting at all, let's talk about that, okay?
All right.
If you go door to door and you say to somebody, November the 2nd, and they say to you, well, you know what, I'm not going to vote. What is your response to that?
Well, Citizens Auxiliary Police official position on that, Phil, in that situation, we try and dissuade people from making that decision. If people are still going to refuse to vote, then, of course, we have to deal with that. You know,
but that's what I'm saying, deal with it. What do you mean?
Well, if they're senior citizens, for instance, they claim they can't go to the polling place, they're too ill, or any kind of, you know, story lodge people like to come up with, you know, these senior citizens come up with a story like that. We have political counselors on hand to sit down with these people and ask them not to be so selfish, I guess. But
what about somebody who is ill, or just someone who doesn't want to vote?
Well, someone who is ill, again, we can give them assistance out to the street wherever they public transportation is. We're not going to be totally heartless. If a person's a hard case, you talk about hard case, is that right?
If that's what you call a guy who just refuses to vote, yeah.
All right. A hard case, and you have that in law enforcement, believe me, we've got a lot of experience in people who are hard cases. Somebody says, I'm not going to vote and you can't make me, that kind of deal. Is that what you mean?
That's what I mean, yeah.
Well, we do get that. We're prepared for it. And then you just take care of business. You know, that's all I can tell you. We'll just take care of business. But we really want people to know that we're on their side. The Citizens Auxiliary Police in our neighborhood is to get you to vote. We wear a blue armband, a white pith helmet, or safari-style helmets. We are uniform. And
can I ask you one more question, Jay? And we're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police about Operation Follow Through, a operation commencing tomorrow through Election Day to remind people November 2nd is the election day to get out and vote. On November the 2nd, you not only go to their house, then you return to the house to remind them.
Homes and businesses, Phil, that's correct.
All right, so you'll be at a guy's house, you know, election day. You're also asking people who they're voting for, which is a very unusual step.
It is an unusual step, if I could just jump in, Phil.
Go ahead.
It's not something we take lightly. I'm not trying to, you know, who are you going to vote for? Oh, I'm going to go run to the secret police or some kind of deal like that. Really, I'm just asking who you're voting for, because if you tell me you're going to vote, but you're really not going to. If I ask you who you're going to vote for, and okay, so you're going to vote for Bush. Can I ask you, Phil, and you don't have to tell me who you're going to vote for?
I'm going to vote for President Bush.
All right, do you know what his position is, for instance, on health care?
The president's position on health care, right now the guy is aiming mostly at tort reform, which is to limit these settlements. That's number one. And number two, in terms of health care, he has got every bit as much a prescription drug program as John Kerry, and probably much more realistic in terms of its effect on Medicare.
All right, okay. That's good, Phil.
I mean, is that enough?
Yeah, no, that's fine. But that's what I'm saying. If somebody answers me like that, he's not going to have a problem with me. If someone gives me a vague answer, if I think he's giving me a line of baloney, he's trying to give me a spiel or some deal like that, you know, we've got a situation we have to take care of business on, but we're hoping it's going to go smoothly on November 2.
Jay Santos with us of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. God, he did throw me kind of a knuckleball there at Bush's health care plan. But then, you know, if you ask me what Kerry's health care plan is, it's just check Bush's and then kind of water it down. And that's... But did you see the thing on TV? This is amazing, man, but nobody's going to tell you this. No one will report this. It was on TV. Kerry, on his website, I swear to God, has a platform. He has a mission or issue statement that was lifted directly, word for word, from a Labor Department report, of a Bush administration Labor Department report of January 2004, that Kerry took word for word as if it's his idea. It's on his website. Now, how do you take that and say, well, you know what, Bush probably did. It's probably a conspiracy. I mean, what, Bush hacked into Kerry's website and just put a lot of crap in there? Anyway, Jay Santos is, I don't want to get off into that. I'm sorry. Jay Santos is with us of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. He will be going door to door, getting people to vote. Asking you who you're voting for seems a bit intrusive to me, but he is asking people who they're voting for to make sure that they're not lying about voting. Then he will be back at your house on November 2nd to tell you to go out and vote. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. He mentioned, and I don't think he's very well informed, he says the law is fuzzy on whether you have to vote or not. Jay is maintaining you do have to vote. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. When the truth just isn't enough. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us as we talk about the election coming up November 2nd. Jay, you're involved in Operation Follow Through, which is to go door to door, ask people to vote, ask them who they're voting for, and then come to their house on election day. And as you say in your email, or in the official literature from your commission, tell them to go vote. Now, I want to take the step. I want to put, if you don't mind, a couple of people on the line with you, because we've had an awful lot of response, Jay, to you.
Phil, I'd be very happy to.
All right, Jay Santos is with us. I want to get on the line here, Joanne? Joanne?
Yes.
Hi, Joanne. And
hi.
Hold on, Joanne. And is this Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
And Joanne, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Kansas.
And Lloyd, where are you at?
Yes, sir. I'm in Alhambra, California, sir.
All right, go ahead, Joanne, your comment for Jay.
Well, I just wonder where he thinks he gets the authority to ask people who they're voting for. I personally will tell him it's none of his business. I take voting very seriously, and I don't have to explain to him who I'm voting for or what their program is or anything about it.
I just hope
he's not in Kansas.
And Lloyd, I can hear you wanting to weigh in.
I think the lady's being polite, which I certainly appreciate, and I'm going to be a little bit more direct. You come to my house and ask me who I'm voting, and, mister, you're going to get a door slammed in your face.
Sir, I don't want to have to have a
door. And I agree.
You know, let me tell you something. I'm a Korean War veteran.
And I certainly honor that, sir.
Well, you and you come to my home and you say, and get out and vote? Buddy, I don't even want to tell you what I would have done to you.
Well, what?
I think the lady and the gentleman are getting all wrong. First of all we do is come to your home, Joanne and Lloyd, and we say, November 2nd, voting day.
Listen, you're talking to the wrong age people.
Yeah.
I'm already planning on voting. I'm working the election board this year.
Amen to that.
And I don't need that.
And I'll tell you something else. I'm a gun owner. You come to my home and try to tell me to vote, and I'll vote, but you don't tell me to vote, or so help me God, I'll go to the closet and get what I took off a Chinese officer in 1951.
And what is that, sir?
Well, you don't want to know, but it was made in Russia, and brother, it fires more than 9 clips when you squeeze the trigger. And
all right, let's calm down.
Right there. I'm going to have to take care of business on this man.
And what do you mean by that?
What do you mean by taking care of business?
If you're going to say to me, if I come to your house, Joanne, first I say, hey, Joanne, my name's Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police. How are you doing today, ma'am? And you're responding very well. I say, thank you. Ma'am, who are you going to vote for? And what would you say?
And I'll tell you it's none of your business.
All right, then I've got to take it to the next level.
And what do you mean by that?
Sir, I'm just trying to...
Well, it's a question we're getting, Jay.
I'm going to have to take it to the next level.
What is it?
I carry pepper spray.
Are you trying to tell me you'll pepper spray me if you... Woo-hoo! Brother, I'd love to see that.
Joanne, I'm just saying, tell me who you're going to vote for. Otherwise, how am I going to believe that you're going to vote?
It doesn't matter to you. It's none of your business.
Well, then you're lying about voting. Is that it?
Woo! Listen to him.
Man,
you asking for it.
You do not have the privilege to ask people who they're voting for.
So you're one of these
folks. There's nothing you can do about it if they don't.
Well, if you're one of these people go to cocktail parties and says, well, I voted for this, voted for that. And point of fact, you didn't vote because you don't know nothing about no issues. And
don't know nothing about no issues.
Well, you can check my voting record.
All right. Can you tell me what that is?
No, I won't.
How can I check it then if you won't tell me? See, right there, Phil, we've got a red flag
situation. It's private. Yeah, nobody can find out.
And it's none of your GD business. And
I'll
tell you, if this was Korea and I had a bayonet out, God, I'd love to...
All right,
and
I'm
done.
I'd ask the gentleman to calm down.
Telling me to calm down.
Way out of line.
Joanne, I don't want to take it to the next level on you. And
what do you mean by take it to the next level? I want...
All right, I had to hang up on him. He used some language. Joanne, thank you for your call.
Thank you. I'm done.
And you can see what people are asking?
I understand their concern, Phil. I wish I could be a little bit more specific, but it is a matter of Citizens Auxiliary Police operating procedure that we do not go into specifics with regard to a situation which may turn into a deal. Like, you know, it's kind of a deal where we say, yeah, I got to take it to level two, you know, kick it up a notch, get the puppy off the mat, these kind of things.
Okay, let me go over here to Rihanna. Hi, Rihanna. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos.
Hi, Phil. Thanks so much for taking my call. Say,
Jay,
just to give you a little background. At first, I was mildly annoyed and a little bit frustrated with the language. But as I've been listening to the last two callers that were on with you, I have to say that my blood feels about to boil. I'm a 28-year-old woman.
I'm not trying to upset anybody. I'm trying to get people involved in the political process. Why would that make you angry? Why would it make you angry that I care enough about my country and the future of the whole deal, and you're getting all mad at me?
Let me tell you why it makes me angry.
That don't make no sense.
Uh-huh. First of all, let me tell you that one of the things that is making me the most angry at this very moment is that you would have the nerve to speak to an elder the way that you just did. My grandparents are some of the most significant people in the entire world to me. And if anyone ever made them feel intimidated or anxious or afraid, as you just did...
That's a good point, Rihanna.
I would do anything in my power to make sure that you would have no access.
Well, Rihanna, if you're talking about that old bird I just talked to, she's trying to get up in my grill about something. And
Well, wait a minute. What do you mean old bird? The woman?
The woman and the man, yes, sir. See, they're both trying to say, he said he's going to run me through with a bayonet that he took off some Jap or something.
He said a Chinese soldier. He didn't say Jap.
Let me also say, Jay, that your disdain and disrespect is anything but what this country was built upon.
Rihanna, can I just ask you this? I know you're a younger woman, which is a red flag for me, and I don't mean in disrespect, but younger females are traditionally the least politically educated of our populace. I'm sure you'd agree with that. I'm sure a lot of your contemporaries are not as up on things. Can you tell me who you're going to vote for, please?
I will gladly tell you that I'm going to vote for President Bush, and if you ask me...
Okay, and why is that?
What is he going to do about health care? I think that I would have to laugh. I've listened to you for the past however long you've been on the radio, 50, 20 minutes, and you've continually... all you've done is repeat yourself, which would have me wonder... what your political education is. And I don't need Harvard Law.
As a law enforcement officer, I can't... tell you that.
Yeah, I would have to disagree that you're a law enforcement officer. I think that you're a gentleman who has huge self-esteem issues and is using this as a power trip in order to intimidate and control.
Ma'am, we're out to save lives. The Citizens Auxiliary Police was put together in 1996 by Major Elvis.
I'm sure
Stanton,
that there are a lot of people that are actually committed to doing good.
Right.
You, sir, are not one of them.
Jay, look it. You know... President Bush, and I'm going to vote for Bush. Now, you got two votes there.
Well, first of all, it's a red flag. It doesn't make any difference. I'm a Kerry supporter, and I'll tell you why. President Bush is, you know, this whole idea is up the butt, you know, what he's trying to do with the whole Al-Qaeda deal. So that's a little bit of a red flag for me.
Yeah,
well, let's see. There you go.
Your absolute ignorance is so apparent that I almost feel bad for anyone who has to actually come into contact with you.
I'm sure I can hear you laughing.
I think the lady's funny. I think she's hitting the nail on the head. Thank you, Rihanna. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who says he's going door-to-door with the other sub-commanders to ask who you're voting for, and you better get out and vote on November the 2nd, or he takes it to the next level. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
These are the stories of the men whose training...
We're back with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we talk with him about Operation Follow Through or Follow Up, which is to go door to door, get people to remember that November 2nd is Election Day, and also tell them to go out and vote and ask them who they're voting for. Jay, before we go to another call, I want to get back to our female caller, Joanne, and our male caller, Lloyd. You said, are you going to take it to the next level?
Well, I'm not prepared to go into police procedure with you.
You're a volunteer neighborhood patrol, though, correct?
You call us a volunteer neighborhood patrol if you want to. We take a peek over the police. Don't worry about it. You know, we do have a... I wear a blue armband. We're fully recognizable. And to tell you the truth, I find it very suspicious. When I go to a door, you know, I ask a lady, who are you going to vote for? And she says, that's none of your business. I think it's indicating that she really doesn't know who to vote for, and that she's one of these, what I call, in the old days, you used to call them phony baloney. She's a phony baloney. Especially when I ask them who you're going to vote for, if they don't know, you know, they don't want to answer my question, means they don't know. There's like a phony baloney deal. So if she says, I'm going to vote for Kerry, I say, okay, what's his stance on, for instance, containers at ports? And she doesn't have an answer. That's a phony baloney deal. That's red flag. And the reason why we would use pepper spray in that instance is...
Why would you pepper spray an older person...
Please allow me to finish. Is if someone has such disdain for this country and its people and its institutions that they claim they're going to vote, but they're really not going to vote, and they just a whole phony baloney deal, that's a red flag for me. I got to take the next level.
You're going to get arrested for assault, sir.
I don't think so, Mr. Hanner. You know, let's leave police procedure to those who understand it.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Bill. Bill, go ahead.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you, sir?
Pretty good, thank you.
Go ahead.
I'm calling about this gentleman who's going to go around and knock on people's doors. I want to make it very clear that no one has to answer any question that he has for them. First of all, if he knocks on their door and they say, we're not interested in talking to you, please leave, and he refuses to do so, then they have the right to call the police, the local police, not the rent-a-cop that he is, but they have the right to call the police.
We are fully got an armband.
Listen, sir,
and
you're talking to a retired state police officer of 32 years of a lieutenant investigator.
Well, I totally respect that, sir.
Don't tell me what, because these people can call then the local police, and you can be arrested for criminal trespass.
Well, sir, then how come they won't tell me who they're going to vote for? Well, that's a red flag. Isn't that a red flag in law enforcement?
That's none of your concern. And it's no red flag.
Isn't that a red flag in law enforcement circles?
It's no red flag. No, nobody has to tell you who they're voting for. Absolutely no one.
The police, when they stop people on patrol, isn't it true you look for certain indicators that an individual may be alcoholic or
what have you? You're talking over your head. Yes, a cop has, as an investigator, I had the opportunity to stop and talk to people. But I just didn't drive up and knock on their glass and say, hey, how fast are you going? You do not have the right to walk up and knock on people's
door. Well, it's a red flag if someone's going over the speed limit. You will pull that person over and you will ask them, okay, let's see the driver's license. And, you know, let's have it, right?
You better go to the grocery store and buy apples and apples instead of trying to match apples with bananas because, you know, you are so far, you know, you talk about phony baloney.
If I could jump.
Well, sir, I see guys like you
at football games walking around strutting like they have some authority from some local police officer when you have absolutely no authority whatsoever.
Bill is making a point here, Jay. He's a retired police officer.
In fact, I just want to ask one question.
What?
What's the fastest you went in your squad car on a police car deal?
You know, you don't have to ask me. We're talking about you going up and harassing people and talking about pepper spray. Do you know you could be arrested for carrying a can of pepper spray?
What are you talking about? Apples? I'm talking about
talking about phony baloney. You're talking about apples.
You're the only phony baloney.
Well, you're talking all about apples and apples. Which
you're the only phony baloney. You could be arrested.
Hold on, Bill.
For
Bill.
Pulling a can of pepper spray and
Bill.
Spraying somebody.
Bill, hold the line. Is this gentleman Lloyd back on? Lloyd, sir, we only take one call a night.
I understand that, Phil, but I got angry and I wanted to apologize to you. I heard Bill talking, who's one of our very fine retired police officers, and I spent 6 years in the United States Navy defending this country. And I'll tell you something right now, and Bill, he can arrest me if he wants to. If you come to my door, brother, I got a baseball bat waiting.
I got to take it to the second level on you.
You take it to the second level on me, huh? And what is that supposed to mean? Man, I tell you, guys like you really pee me off. I could...
You get this man off the...
Sir, is Bill still there?
Yes.
Bill, seriously, how fast your police car goes? Did you chase a guy fast or anything? Kind of a deal?
What the hell? What difference does it make?
What's that got to do? You know, we're talking about somebody breaking the law and we're in pursuit. You're talking about going out and harassing people. Going out at night, going out in the dark, going out in the daylight. You're harassing people.
I don't see how it's different from walking up to someone's car and going, hey, let me see your driver's license because you're speeding. Hey, let me see who you're voting for because, you know, I don't know who you're voting for. What's the difference?
We have the right to pull people over. You do not have the right. Nor the authority, because you wear some blue armband around your arm that lets you go up to knock on people's door and ask, who are you voting
for? Did you make your quota at the end of every month on those speeding ticket deals?
I wasn't in traffic control.
All right. Okay.
And that's still none of your business, even if I was.
Oh, it's none of my business. Find out you guys making your quota on speeding ticket deals,
You know, that's
a pair of sunglasses.
That's your mentality, sir.
You know, sir.
That is your mentality.
Just as you guys wore those mirrored sunglasses, doesn't make you a man with no eyes in that Cool Hand Luke deal.
Well, I'll tell you what.
All right. Well, whatever.
You go up knocking on people's door, you may not have any eyes because they may take the pepper spray off of you and pepper you.
So that's what you're advising citizens to do?
No, I'm not advising. I'm just telling you what could happen.
Good
Somebody
point.
Could remove that pepper spray from you and turn it on you.
Well, we've got ways of dealing with
and
that.
You don't have no way. You know, you have no right, sir.
Right.
And
can you tell me who you're going to vote for?
It's none of your business.
And you won't tell me how fast your radio car went, and
that's
you won't say nothing
either.
So you don't have no respect for a fellow officer.
I have
He's
all the respect in the world for a fellow officer. I don't have the respect in the world for a rent-a-cop.
Well, that hurts. I got to tell you, that stings.
Well.
All right. Bill, thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Yep.
Can I get his number so I can call him as how fast the car went and all that?
No, you cannot get his number. I don't have his number.
Do you think he carried a gun?
He's a cop! Yes, he carried a gun!
You know, sir, I don't like being talked to like that. I've been treated with great disrespect on your program. I got that guy on the,
Hold on. Sir, I can't have you.
And I'll tell you something else. Brother, I'd bend you over a coffee table. I'd get an extra big jar of Crisco and...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Miguel, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Miguel?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
I just think it is totally outrageous that somebody would call with the freedom. We're fighting for freedoms in this country. I am an immigrant, and I am proud to say that it's a privilege to vote. But we also have the right not to vote. And to have somebody come on
are you gonna vote, sir,
and demand an answer,
it totally disregards part of our freedom. Did you say you're gonna
part
vote?
Part of the freedom that we have the privilege to have in this country. Just like we have the privilege to vote, we have the privilege not to. And if somebody decides that they don't want to vote,
look at the percentages
of the people that are enrolled, maybe not this year, but in the past
election
for president.
Hold on.
The people that
Miguel, hold on.
Have the
Miguel,
have
hold on. What did you want, Jay?
I want to ask the lady something.
Don't.
Ma'am, who are you going
to
vote for, ma'am?
The right to come to your property and ask you and demand to know. And
are you in them transgender deals?
Thank
kind of
God
deal like
for
that?
The retired officer.
Sure,
that
I think right now I got a red flag going up. I think this guy's one of them transgender deals.
And let him know
I
exactly
down
what
China
his
Smith
rights
bar.
Are. I don't
Will
think he has
up.
The right to do that.
That's fine, sir.
Who is this
Who
man?
Is the transgender choice for candidate this year? I'm not up on it. Do you know? Easy, sir?
Are you asking me?
Yes, he's the transgender candidate for president.
What do you mean the transgender candidate?
I just want to know.
Are you trying to assume something?
I thought I was speaking to one of them, one of the guys.
It just shows you're trained on yourself.
Are you trained?
Told us the size of brain that you have.
True.
And you want to represent law enforcement?
You need
a life.
Sir, you're saying to me, okay, first of all, are you a lady or a guy? Right?
It's a gentleman.
It doesn't matter. That isn't even your business.
It's not my
more
business?
Freedom that I have in this country.
Hey, did you ever see that Priscilla Prince of the Desert deal? And they go, that's a hell of a movie. And they had a...
Will you shut up and listen to what the man is saying?
So in other words, I can't ask him a question about Tu Wong Fu with Love, Julia Newmar, but you get to talk all you want.
What?
It doesn't matter.
Listen,
you're representing the law, and you have no... You can't
absolutely,
even represent yourself.
Well, sir, who are you going to vote for?
It doesn't matter.
Okay,
it's not your business.
That
it's like
that
all the other callers said.
See, you,
it's a private
a
affair.
That's a red flag. You're one of them trannies that's going to go out and vote for Nader. I know
for
that.
For us to tell you who we're voting for,
would you be quiet and let the man talk?
It's a private election.
Phil, all I'm saying is you let these trannies vote and that Nader guy is going to be president before you can say Tu Wong Fu with Love, Julie Newmar.
Oh, come on. You're so ridiculous.
The guy's
you're
a freaking moron. He's freaking
full
moron.
Of hot air.
Thank you very much, Miguel. He's an idiot.
Totally
I'm an idiot.
Disregarding
totally
law.
Well, I can tell you right now, sir, that you can vote, and God bless you. Can I ask you just a question? Are you and Siegfried going to get back together? Or?
All right, anyway.
You're disgusting.
What a moron. You
know, is he gone?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to know if he had boobs or any kind of a deal like that.
Are you a freaking idiot or something, man? I'm talking about something serious like voting, and you're asking questions like that?
Mr. Henry, I'm just trying to avoid the confrontation. I'm trying to lighten the load here a little bit. I've only been a phony baloney. I've been assaulted. I love my country very much. I want to make sure no terrorists come out and do all, you know, kind of that kind of nonsense that they do.
So you're asking a guy who the transgender choice for president is, and if him and Siegfried are getting back together?
Well, see, you're even laughing. You even think it's funny.
I don't know, man. Let me go to, should we even, whatever. You know what, Jay? Get lost.
Tell me to get lost?
Yeah, I'm telling you to get lost.
Well, I just want to tell people expect to see us November 2nd. I want to remind you guys, remember, it's all about saving lives. W. No Tony Baloney.
Organization.
By the way, just want to say, we let these trannies vote in all these transgender deals. You can have Nader faster, president faster than you can get the hot wind out of a duck's butt.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced.
And the citizens are Zeri Police.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. All the way to the FBI. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I couldn't believe we've been running the Citizens Auxiliary Police music. By the way, go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, to see Bud's Babe of the Week. I just took a look at it, Bud. Man.
What?
Teresa Heintz.
She's hot.
Anyway, here is our flashback. Margaret Gray on our show yesterday talking about the people who vote for Bush are just a little dumber than people who vote for Kerry.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm so shocked that somebody would really talk about somebody's intelligence and try to judge it on the phone based on who they're going to vote for. I have two sisters who are expatriates. One lives in Turkey, and she's lived there for 10 years.
Yeah.
Another sister is very highly involved in the... her husband is very highly involved in the government in Abu Dhabi. They've lived abroad for 20 years,
well,
and both of them are voting for Bush.
Well,
so.
That's interesting. See, when you're an expat living in Asia Minor or the Middle East, I don't think it reflects as urbane a taste as one living in continental Europe. You see what I'm saying? In other words, if you live in Paris, you live in Monte Carlo, you live in Italy, you live in Germany, you are traveling in a more literate society than traveling in some Turkish bazaar somewhere. you know.
Well, the sister who lives in Abu Dhabi lived in Paris for 10 years.
Yes.
I mean, she's lived in she's lived all over the world. She is fluent in many languages. And, again, I guess what I find is so sort of troubling about your attitude is that you're such a snob. I mean, you're saying,
no, not at all, of course,
these people are so much more interesting and urbane, and the average American voter is, of course, some hick carrying a gun Deere hat in Iowa, and of course the Kerry voters are...
No, I think you're being very unfair. I didn't
characterize... I think you're being very unfair.
I think you're... I'm simply saying that your sister moves from Paris to Turkey. It is understandable if she gets, and for want of a better term, if she gets a little dumber by moving there, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but wait a minute. She gets dumber, or she just isn't as cultured?
I don't know. I don't know the difference, really. To me, culture is intelligence.
Well, you know, and that's the problem. Culture is not necessarily intelligence, and culture varies from place to
place. Well, who are you voting for, Holly? Who are you voting for?
You know, actually, I am a huge supporter of George Bush.
Right, and I could have guessed that.
Yeah, exactly.
And let me tell you why. I'll tell you why, though. You're a little quick to be emotional. You don't fall back on the intellectual argument as much as, for instance, I do. You're emotional.
You have not come up with an intellectual argument yet. You haven't come up with an intellectual argument.
Excuse me.
All you're doing is name-calling telling people...
Oh, my God,
That they're stupid because they're going to vote for Bush.
No.
You have yet to come up with anything intellectual,
Did you not say that your sister moved from Paris to the Middle East and got stupider as a result?
Phil, where did you get this woman? What does this woman do for a living?
I'm a journalist, and you don't have to speak to me as if I'm not here. I'm saying, didn't you...
No, she didn't. She said her sister moved...
I didn't say that.
Well, it's my assessment. It's possible. I'm just asking you to open your mind that your sister went from being a Kerry supporter in Paris and got dumber the further...
She's never been a Kerry supporter.
She got dumber the further south she went.
No, I think you carry your intellect with you, and I think your intellect is a function of what your life experiences and what you read on a daily basis and what information you're willing to take in and who you talk to what you do.
I want to say something, too. I'm not a professional, Margaret, and you're a journalist, but this lady, Holly, sounds to me like a well-spoken, intelligent woman. She's voting for Bush. How could you say she's not as intelligent, say, as a Kerry supporter?
Well, she has a little bit of that. I don't want to say she sounds, and I mean this as a compliment, Holly, you sound tough.
I am tough.
You sound a little masculine.
You know what?
And
I'm an investment.
Yeah, that bespeaks a little bit of a redneck heritage.
You know what? I'm an investment banker. Uh-huh. I have an MBA from Columbia University,
right.
And I've spent 20 years doing mergers and acquisitions. And I'm a professional. Yes,
well, can I ask you
tough.
How smart is it to go from riding in a beautiful Parisian cab or a beautiful Parisian taxi cab to riding a camel? How smart is that?
Well, you know they're not
Bingo.
Riding a camel.
Bingo.
They're not. No,
Bingo.
No, you're making assumptions,
no.
And this is where I
Come
think
on, that
it,
can't be very bright.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
She's right. Jim Rome coming up next on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll also have a weather update with Art Patrici, and we have Riley Davenport's invalid grandmother predicts the election.
1-800-449-8686. The world. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And now, the Phil Hendry Show presents the Jim Rome Show from Los Angeles on the Premier Radio Networks. Welcome back. Second hour. You'll get the third hour. Bang your monkey. Bang it until you get hair on your palms, but bang it. Bang your monkey, find out why you don't get the third hour of our show. That is just wrong if you don't get the third hour. You missed a great first hour. If you don't get our third hour, you missed our first hour. If you don't get our third hour, you missed our third hour. If you don't get our second hour, you missed a great first hour. Turn up this hour. I'm going to have Bill Belichick. I'm going to have on Kobe. Also going to have a great, great conversation I had with Chad Pennington, New York Jets. Sorry about that. Feeling a little rack time.
kind of tired, kind of fading out. I don't know. I'm tired. I'm so tired.
Mr. Rome, it is so good of you to be here at Buckingham Palace.
Well, it's really great, your queenship.
And for all you've done for the world of sport and relations between Britain and the United States, I would like to award you the Order of the British Empire.
Well, that is tight. Some of the dude's top. Some of the dude's hat over there, huh?
Dude's hat?
Some of the dude's hat there.
Well, that is a beefeater.
No, a dude's hat.
A dude's hat, that's a Royal Guardsman of the Buckingham Palace, Mr. Rome.
You are so tight, your queenship. You're so... I'm so very, very proud. You talk about that? You talk about how proud I am? Talk about how...
Just shut up. I would now like to knight you Sir Romy of the British Empire.
Sir Romy. That's awesome. Think of that, Sir Romy. Think of that, Travis, huh? Sir Romy. Hey, you can be Sir Romy. Would you be my squire, Sir Romy? You'd be Sir Romy's squire, huh, Travis? What do you think of that? Your queenship?
Well, Mr. Rome, I have to be going now. There's only so much of this I can stand. But I'll be off, and...
No, hold on for just a minute.
You know, you're not such a bad-looking man, even with that little beard and that all 5'1" of you.
How about give me a little grill time, a little face time here. Come here.
Oh, get your hands off me. Oh, put your hat... You have your hand under the royal skirt. Oh...
Come here, your queenship.
Will you, Rome? What are you doing, man?
Travis, what's the matter?
You're kissing me in the mouth, man. Walk up that side of the street, man. I'm quitting your show, man. You're gay, man.
Hey, Travis, wait a second, man. I was dreaming. Dude, hey, wait a second. Okay, I'm Jim Rome. I'm not queer. Can we talk about that? We talk about whether I'm queer or not next hour? I was like sleeping. We talk about whether I was sleeping or not, or whether I was actually doing my show. I knew I was doing my show. And the queen here?
Not a queen wasn't here, man. The only queen here was you.
Oh, that's good. The only queen here was me. That's Travis. Yeah, that's funny. We talk about whether I'm a queen. Talk about how short I am. Talk about my beard. Talk about that. And talk about that. And talk about that. Talk about that.
See you around me.
Yeah.
Baba Booey.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
But I want to get on the line here. We've got with us, is Art Patrici ready? Let's get Art Patrici on the line just to give us a little weather update on what's happening. Art, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay, Phil.
Okay, I do you have some weather for me?
Well, I do. It's probably not going to rain too much.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why are you sound like you're in a tunnel or something?
Oh, do I sound like I'm in a tunnel?
Yeah, you do.
Well, I don't.
All right, what happened? What happened? Were you in the park again last night?
Yeah.
Did somebody try to give you a swirly whirl?
Yeah, they put my head in the toilet. I can't get out.
So, in other words, you were in the park last night. What did I tell you about looking for love in all the wrong places, Art?
Well, I just don't do the bar thing too good.
Okay, so somebody shoved your head in the toilet and what?
They mugged me.
You want me to send Bud down to get your head out?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Bud?
Where is he?
Where are you?
Beverly Hills. It's the same can that George Michael frequented.
Well, what are you doing there?
Thought maybe I'd see him.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be back there, man, after what happened to him.
I took a shot.
Go get him.
Hey, Beverly Hills, the same can that George Michael got busted in. Got it. I'm on my way. I'm on my way, Mr. Patrici.
Thanks, bud.
Okay, I'm sorry we don't have any weather because he got his head stuck in a toilet. Someone gave him a swirly whirl, rolled him. 1-800-449-8686. I was having this conversation. By the way, coming up, I always jump into what I want to say, and then I say, oh, by the way, I forgot to tease what we have coming up in the hour. We will have a visit from Jim Hudnail and news for newly arrived immigrants, and Bobby Dooley will be telling us about her appearance on our show tomorrow night. In the 9 o'clock hour, Riley Davenport's invalid grandmother predicts the election. Is this something else that you set up, bud, wherever you are? He's not trying to get, he's trying to get Art's head out of that can. So I'm talking to Mike, because I'm looking at the news. It's getting really, really hot, as the guys like to say. As the guys out in the theater of war like to say, it's getting real hot around this election. Real hot. Real aggressive. This guy's a liar. That guy's a liar. I had to email my family today and tell them to stop to quit emailing me, or I would post their emails on my website. So if you see emails from family members of mine that I will post on my homepage, by the way, it's because I had to act on my threat. I don't want any more emails from them, and they're baloney. Or as you know, Jay Santos would say, they're phony baloney. It's getting really ugly. So I'm talking with my son. And he's reading the book 1984, right? Now, remember when we read this book 1984 in school, or maybe you didn't? If you don't know the book, it's a pretty well-known book. It was written by George Orwell in the 40s. And basically, it was a book portraying a very bleak future where the state, the government, runs and controls everything. To the point where there is no individualism, right? So, like, there's a torture scene where they're torturing the hero of the book. His name is Winston Smith. And they say, you know, the guy who's torturing him says, how many fingers am I holding up? And he says, you're holding up two. And the torturer says, and if the state says there are three, how many am I holding up? He says, well, I still only see two fingers. So then they rack him some more until finally they torture him so much that he actually can believe that if they say it's three fingers, then it's three fingers, even though he's looking at two fingers. So that was the world that a lot of people were afraid was going to happen, that was going to come about after World War II, the fear of communism, that the state control of everything to the point where the individual doesn't exist, right? I'm talking to my son, and he says, yeah, he and I were talking about the book because we really dug it. And I said to him, do you notice how it hasn't come to pass? I said, what's happened is the complete opposite. The complete opposite has happened, where we don't trust anything the government says. And he goes, yeah, I kind of see that. Like, everybody's just like, nobody trusts anything. I go, yeah. So the evil of, like, a state running everything is that you cease to exist as an individual, and that will kill the human race and ultimately kills a society like that. I said, but the opposite of it is utter mistrust and paranoia of the government to the point where there's chaos, where, like that Twilight Zone episode, remember where the monsters on Maple Street, where all they had to do was turn the lights on and off, and all they had to do was, like, make a car not start, but make another guy's car start, so all the neighbors descended on each other and didn't trust each other until finally they were consumed. And we're beginning to act like that. I mean, we really, seriously, I mean, I wouldn't tell you if I did. We're really starting to act stupid. In other words, we're acting dopey. And I'll tell you something else. Well, you guys are Civil War buffs. I'm not. I never really was. But I've read a couple of books about Lincoln because I like the guy. But the animosity felt in this country right now, that you can feel, that the animosity, the sort of tangible anger that people have toward each other who are polarized, you now know what this country, it was exactly like this at the beginning and during the height of the Civil War. Exactly like this. Men, brothers against brothers, fathers against sons, mothers against sisters. And until the point where one guy who was completely consumed by his hatred decided that he was going to do everybody a favor and kill the president. And he did. Booth shot Lincoln. And I tell you right now, I pray to God it doesn't happen, but there's a nut out there right now who wants to do it to Bush. I've heard people on this show say they'd kill Bush. I've heard it. Newspapers in England are asking for it. Right? So you now know the environment we live in. I mean, it's exactly like it was in the Civil War. The rancor is really, really, you can cut it, man, with a knife. And here's the thing that I look at as like a sober, reflecting kind of a guy when I am sober. Just like the South, which didn't stand for anything other than they didn't want any federal troops on their land. They didn't stand for anything other than this vague thing called states' rights. And what that basically meant was a state can decide whether a man gets to own another man or not. That's what the South believed in. They can tell you anything they want about how, well, it was about our homeland and all that bullcrap. It was about states' rights, and it's the same thing that Cheney's pitching about gay marriage. You know, leave it up to the states. Not bullcrap. And Bush is pitching the same thing. But Bush has got something that he stands for, and so he's proactive. That's why I support the guy. The Kerry people are just like the South, man. They don't know what they like. All they know is they hate Bush. That's all they know. They just hate him. They are reactive and negative, and it's ugly. I can't even get through. My brother-in-law and my sister-in-law actually think they're making really intelligent arguments when they say this. Bush is the most fiscally irresponsible president that I've ever seen, so I'll take my chances with Kerry. Now, this is an argument, right? Even after I said to him, fiscally irresponsible, or did maybe 9/11 have something to do with the jobs going away and the economy continuing to worsen? Well, that's not the point. You know, they can't even go, man. They just hate this guy. He's the worst president ever. He's the most fiscally irresponsible guy ever. I'm telling you, you may think I sound like a crazy man, but I'm telling you, I swear to God, man, I feel like that dude in that other Twilight Zone that was running around telling everybody it's going to happen, you know, and they called him a nut and they threw him in jail, and the next thing you know, the thing that he predicted had happened, right? I feel like that guy. I am telling you right now that this president is so hated, he's gonna go down in history as one of the greats. And if we don't watch out, there's a nut out there that's going to take a shot at him. Because that's what people are fomenting right now in this country. That's what, with all his, you know, the guy's well-meaning. Kerry's a well-meaning guy. But with all of his horse crap, not standing for anything and just watering down what it is. But, and the most latest thing, man, this is sick. I mean, even if you support Kerry, tell me what you think about this one. The guy rips off an entire section of a Labor Department memo and sticks it on his website as if it's his idea. Cat's got no ideas. Got nothing. All he's got is a whole lot of people that can't stand, that hate Bush. Right? So, that's why I think the election next Tuesday, these people are so stupid, so utterly stupid, so utterly without reason, that if Bush wins, there definitely is going to be some serious crap going on. I don't know what it's going to represent. But somebody's going to sue. Somebody's going to think it was real. But there's so many stupid people out there that can't stand Bush. And I'm telling you, the low end of the IQ is on the I hate Bush bandwagon. That's the low end of the IQ scale out there. And those idiots, because they're essentially powerless, they'll do anything. I hate to say it, but I gotta give voice to this, because I'm looking at it unfolding right in front of my very eyes. I can see it, man. It's as plain as the nose on Bud's face. It's as plain as the big red nose on your face, Bud.
By the way, I got that guy out of the toilet. You're welcome.
What do you mean you're welcome? What has it got to do with me?
I got his head out of the toilet for you.
You didn't get his head out of the toilet for me. You got his head out of the toilet for him.
Did you send me down there?
I said, would you?
No, you said I had to.
Bull crap. Chris was right here, and so was mine. I didn't say you had to. I said his head stuck in a toilet down in a park in Beverly Hills where George Michael was. You know which one, Bud, don't you?
How dare you? Now you call me a fag.
The shoe fits. Just seems to be pretty obvious to me what's happening. I'm telling you. And for all the guy's wrong moves, he's got a plan, proactive, which, as bad as it may seem, has kept us away from the harm of terrorists. We've got an economy that could be a hell of a lot worse. And if you think it's because Bush was president, you simply don't know anything about economics. You simply don't know anything about and I'll argue that with any professor of economics, any doctor of economics that cares to call the show. It's got nothing to do with Bush. So you're left with a president and a senator, one of whom has experienced something that only two or three other presidents have, and a senator who is from the peanut gallery, a little angry that he's sitting on the sidelines as history unfolds. Senator Kerry is angry that he is sitting on the sidelines as history is unfolding, as history is sweeping our country along, and he has no idea, no ideas for it. Because he's too afraid. He's too afraid to say, you know what, President Bush, you actually know what you're talking about. I don't agree with all of it, but you know what, 4 more years isn't going to kill us. Now, he's too frightened to say that. He desperately wants in on the History Act, but he doesn't know what to say or how to do it to get on that bandwagon. I feel bad for the guy. He may get elected. He may get elected because a lot of frightened people in this country right now. But I'm telling you, vote for Kerry. You're just going to be. It's because you're scared. Period. Without question.
So yeah, that's the final word, huh?
Why don't you go help him towel off his head and not stand there monitoring everything?
You just call me gay.
I just said you knew the park where George Michael hung out in. Doesn't mean you're gay. Every time I try to say something serious here, you're standing there.
That's right. I'm just trying to keep the humor moving along. Otherwise, you sound like some kind of ponderous dipwad.
Ponderous, huh?
That's right. Ooh, looks like I hit a little bit of a nerve there.
Anyway, coming up, news for newly arrived immigrants that don't speak English. Riley Davenport's invalid grandmother will predict the election. This is a kid that we met last week. Riley's grandmother apparently predicted a few things. She's invalid. She can barely speak. She's half the time she's semi-conscious, but apparently she can predict stuff. So he's going to have her on the phone. She's going to predict the election for us. Father James McWhorter's Teen Beat report will be on tonight. You won't want to miss that one. And I believe we got a visit from, oh, I don't know, a number of people, including Bobby Dooley, who will be with us to tell us about what's coming up on the show. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have her on the line here in just a second. Don't forget, our website is www.philhenryshow.com. I'm very pleased to present to you this fact that we are sending our CD off to the duplicator, and the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD is coming soon. And I'm going to tell you something. I proofed it. I mean, I listened to the cuts today, and we were naming them. And I'm seriously not just... It's difficult for me to say that it's brilliant because it's our stuff, but it's funnier than hell. We got one CD with the phone calls and one CD with the skits that includes Art Bell. We got a Cowboy Jim. We've got a Man on the Street thing that I did where people guess your weight by seeing how much a chair squeaks. Like all kinds of crap. Then we got a ton of calls with Bobby and Margaret, and Herb Sewell is on a couple of calls, and Steve Bozell and Larry Grover and all of the people that you dig. And that will be available on our website, which is www.philhenryshow.com, which, by the way, you can read the email my in-laws have been sending me if they don't stop sending it. We'll just be sticking it right up there on the homepage. And I want to thank Dave for sending us a picture of his absolutely beautiful little daughter, his baby girl, who is now going to be, she's on our homepage, but she'll be in our wall of female listeners. And that's on our homepage. Thanks for that, Dave. She's a sweet-looking kid. And we are now taking pre-orders for our 2004 CD. So go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com. And don't say it, bud.
You're going to say something else.
Look, man, you don't have to stand there and critique everything, okay? I misspoke. And we're taking pre-orders for the CD at www.philhenryshow.com in our souvenir shop. And while you're there, pick up some other junk. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now, from New York, news for recently arrived immigrants that don't speak English. Here now is your correspondent, Jim Hudnail. Hi, I'm Jim Hudnail, and tonight we welcome you to news for recently arrived immigrants who don't speak English. I'm Jim Hudnail, my wife is Marcy, and we have taken, We took the Van Gogh cruise through Tahiti. We've also been on the Danube River cruise. We also cruised up the Scandinavian countries. That was the deal we got through our golf club. And we had a great time traveling to Hong Kong. We've just been everywhere. And so we're going to give you news for you immigrants. Well, I'm probably talking a little fast for you immigrants, but the rest of you who do speak English, what I'll be doing here in the next few minutes is giving news for our immigrant friends who've arrived and don't speak any English. Okay. Now, we're going to have an election. An election. An election. An elezione presidente. Now,
in the elezione presidente, E. Kerry E. Bush. And those are the two guys that we're going to have for president. Okay? Huh? You got it? Huh? President. All right. How do I do this? Rain is bad. No drive fast. No drive fast in the rain. No. No. No, no, no. No drive fast in the rain. Agua. Agua, huh? Okay. And now a word from our sponsor, Advil, a great pain relief medicine. Mi esposa, mi wife, heavy flow, time of the month, Advil, need Advil, huh? Any, farmacia, huh? Farmacia, capiche, huh? Okay, good. Cabeza, head, hurt, ow, 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 in the heady, in the cabeza, huh? Advil, where do I get it, huh? Over here, at the counter, over there, at the store, where, huh? Okay. And now back to our news for immigrants who have recently arrived to our country and don't speak very good English. Ah, here's a good one. I like this one here. Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton, you know? Slut. El Slutto. Huh? Just kidding, Oni. Just kidding-y. Just laugh-o. Laugh-y-o. Paris Hilton Television. Yeah, TV show, Paris Hilton. Yeah, you know. What's up, what is up front that counts, huh? Yeah. All right. El Juggos? Yeah, you got it. All right, and finally, this news. Iraq. Iraq, boom. Yeah, bad. Big war. Big war, yeah, boom. Yeah, okay. And now a word for Bandini Fertilizer. Hey, Miguel, the front lawn, more fertilizer, no, more cow poo, front lawn, yeah, no, no, not backyard, front lawn, front dichondra grass, more crap on the grass, El Crapo, yeah, Bandini, Bandini, no, 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 not that other crap, Bandini. This has been used for recently arrived immigrants who don't speak English with our correspondent, Jim Hudnell.
I'm Bob Jones, the announcer, announcier, me.
All right, it's a public service for the Phil Henry Show and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. And this is the Phil Henry Show, where each and every night we do something that no one in radio can explain and few radio stations can handle. But the ones that we're on, thank God for you. Thank the God on high for the stations that we are on, because every now and again we have one that says, you know, we just don't know how to position him. And they go away, but they come back, and then they go away, and then they come back, and they go away, and then they come back. We've got over 100 radio stations in our little network, and we're very grateful for all of them. We get cards and letters from all across America. And if you'd like to send us one, you can send it to phs@philhenryshow.com. That's our email address. And then on Friday, we read a mailbag or two, depending upon whether we're getting an interesting email. Right now, Chris is still getting the hang of the email bag. He puts a lot of stuff in there that's just like, how you doing, Chris? It's,
Told you, you sure use me.
Nah, I ain't going to use you either. You can barely freaking read. You're barely literate. At least Pelton can read. Good God.
Yeah, he reads about 2 words a minute.
Well, it beats your one. Amnesty condemns U.S. for war on terror torture. The United States has failed to guard against torture and inhuman behavior since launching its war on terror, Amnesty International said Wednesday. The rights group called on President Bush and his Democratic challenger John Kerry to promise to take prompt action to address the issue head-on. It condemned Bush's response to the 2001 attacks on U.S. cities, saying it had resulted in an iconography of torture, cruelty, and degradation. Amnesty's report accused Washington of stepping into a well-trodden path of violating basic rights in the name of national security or military necessity. The war mentality the government has adopted has not been matched with a commitment to the laws of war, and it has discarded fundamental human rights principles along the way, it's said. At best, Washington was guilty of setting conditions for torture and cruel treatment by lowering safeguards and failing to respond adequately. At worst, it had authorized interrogation techniques, which flouted its international obligation to reject torture and ill treatment under any circumstances. One of these days, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come out with Amnesty International reports. You know, Sri Lanka once again has really crappy toilets and there's no public restroom. Just any country besides us, isn't there anybody else out there? Or are we the only ones? Good God, man. It's like depressing every month. Amnesty International, once again, the United States flaunting every decent rule in the world. Oh, my God! This country is a hellhole, man. I am broadcasting to you from inside the gulag. Someone, help! Get me out of here. I gotta leave, man. Except that I've, you know, I got, I've got a dinner date over here at the Ruth's Chris that I don't want to miss. Plus, I got tickets to the ball game. But other than that, I'd be getting the hell out of here. United States of America is in a unique position these days. We're the only country in the history of recorded memory, in the history of recorded man, in the history of recorded history, that I can safely say we're the only... Oh, look at this. Boston just won. Well, Babe Ruth, you can take a break now, Babe. I bet you Babe couldn't care less about the New York Yankees. Just taking this break to announce that the Boston Red Sox have won the World Series, the first World Series win since 1918. Ding, ding. Babe freaking Ruth stopped caring probably 2 years after he croaked and he was sitting up there in heaven shooting pool with whoever, Fats, you know, Minnesota Fatsers, whoever the hell was dead at the time. Lionel Barrymore, Oliver Hardy. He's up there shooting pool with Lionel Barrymore and Oliver Hardy. So anyway, the United States is in a unique position. We're the only country in that I can even remember hearing about that has this horrific human rights record that people are angry about not being able to get into. You hear what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just right there, man. Sometimes it just sits there right on the table in front of you, like the 800-pound elephant that nobody wants to talk about that sits in the middle of the room, but you got to talk. You know, it's like it's there, right? Just all you got to do, and you say, well, it doesn't make any sense, Phil, because if that was the case, I mean, people would, there must be something secret going on that we don't know about. No, dude, there's nothing going on that we don't know about. It's that we've just sort of always taken the lead, and the rest of the world has always sort of hung in the past. Why do you think Europe was a graveyard for so many years? Why do you think Europe was a graveyard for hundreds of years? And why do you think today it still is pretty much a graveyard? It doesn't really, at its very best, Europe is a place that's pleasant to visit and is very concerned with its own affairs, but it doesn't take the lead in really anything. It doesn't really make a statement about the future, about the quality of life. They just kind of go along over there, man, you know? If you try to push too fast, too hard, and too far, it always bugs them. That's what we do as Americans, though. You know, we're just sort of loud, brash teenagers. We just party and we run around and we go, hey, we can do this, we can do that, and we think we can do anything. It's pretty cool. I like it. World doesn't dig it. All these countries that are like 8 million years old, they look at us like, well, how do you think old people look at the young stud who's getting dolled up for the night? He's going to go out and pick up his chick in a fast car, and he's going to go out and he's going to do all the things they wish they could do. But they're too old and too set in their ways. Once again, America does something that looks very brash. Like all them young people doing that stuff, running around, attacking countries, kicking ass. Who the hell do you think you am? Who the hell he think he am, Andy By God Jackson? So we go, we do this stuff, right? They get upset. So they got to come around. Amnesty International says you guys trod on human rights. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, maybe we did. Maybe we put the underwear in a guy's head. Is that what you're talking about? Well, don't make mockery of it. You know what we mean. Well, yeah, I know what you mean, dude. The guy that got just convicted, he didn't hook the guy up to electrodes. He pretended like he was gonna. He's gonna go to jail for a million years, the bastard. Okay, 7 years is a long time, man, for just putting wires in the guy's fingers, but okay. I mean, he didn't hook it up to anything. He was scaring the guy more than anything else. Well, that's torture. Technically torture. You're right. Underwear in the head, hooking up wires to a thing. The guy thinks he's gonna get tortured, but he isn't. What else? Making him get a dog pile nude and all that stuff. Okay. I got it, right? But you can't ignore the fact that all these people are trying to get into this country to the point where even Muslims who can't get in here are upset, even though this is like a hellhole for Muslims. Can you explain that to me? Oh, don't try to confuse the issue. You're comparing apples to oranges. Well, what does that mean, apples to oranges? They're both fruits. just like you. What does that mean? 1-800-449-8686. Don't give that phone number. Answer me. Coming up, we've got R.C. Collins of the Flashback. Bobby Dooley will join us to talk to us about her appearance on our show tomorrow. Riley Davenport's Invalid Grandma predicts the election. Father James McCorder's Teen Beat and the Chester Shunt Show coming up. All ahead on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, if you haven't heard, the Boston Red Sox have won the World Series, and they've put 1918 to rest for once and all. Oh, Lord, heavens to Murgatroyd, we're dancing in the streets here of Boston. You know, the Red Sox, for the longest time, weren't able to... Don't I sound like I'm from Wisconsin instead of Massachusetts? I don't know how those freaks talk. One thing's for sure, though, in about, I'm giving it 5 minutes, those drunks will be out in the middle of Boston. They'll be there, whatever they drink and wherever they go to drink it. There's going to be cars on fire within 5 minutes. Who wants to take the bet? I got $100. I got $100, says, by 9 o'clock, I'll tell you what it is. It's 7 minutes to nine Pacific, which means 7 minutes to midnight Eastern. By midnight, cars will be on fire. Look it. You live in Boston. It's October. I don't care if it's nice and, what a wonderful town. So many wonderful colleges and pubs. It's still cold, gray, smelly, and nasty. And the only thing you want to do is go someplace and drink whatever's in someone's radiator, man. You don't care if the guy filtered it through a turnip, if it's torpedo juice through a grapefruit, you don't care what. You're going to sit there and suck down as many quarts of that. Here we go. There's the bar now. They got a bar scene. Why don't they go to a church or something? And the people are going nuts here at the Presbyterian Church. Bill, God, they've got punch and everything. Coca-Cola, look at you. There's Jerry. He's on his 19th diet root beer. And they're wasting perfectly good champagne in the Boston clubhouse. And there's Jeannie Zelasco, who actually walked over to me at one point at Fox when I was over there trying out for that Best Damn Sports Show, which they told me was one kind of a show, which I, you want to know something about Best Damn Sports Show? I actually gave them this kind of performance that they said, no, we're not looking for that. Then that's exactly what they're doing. Anyway, I was over there, and Jeannie walked over, and she said, "Hey, I'm actually a big fan of your show, Mr. Hendry." She stood towering over me in a very tight T-shirt and shorts, and I was really quite impressed with her demeanor. And so, anyway, she's there, and she is now beginning to drink with the player. Okay, Jeannie's taking off her top. Okay, she gets really ripped. You ever heard Jeannie Velasco? What's her name? Velasco? Something. They rip her, man. They call her the dumbest thing that's ever hit baseball since the Boston Red Sox. Anyway, I say by the top of the hour, the drunks will be out in force, burning up every cop car in sight in Boston. If not, then everybody gets a free trip to my website. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Time for R.C. Collins, who says, if you don't vote, you disrespect the military. And if you don't vote, we have every right in the world to fraternize with your young daughters for 48 hours.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
To start with, he's definitely not a man, because a man wouldn't think in those terms. Sounds like some little perverted child.
Well,
I wouldn't even want him representing my country, let alone anything else.
Do you vote, ma'am?
Yes, I do.
Well, then you have nothing to fear.
It doesn't matter. That doesn't give you the privilege that you can have sex with someone's child because you think you're such a hot cadet.
It's not about being hot. It's about basically taking a payment or a barter. The way I got it figured is, if you don't vote and you're telling me you hope I die, then you're bartering your daughter.
We're not hoping any of our kids die that go to the military. I have a son. I don't want him to die, but that doesn't give him the right to have sex with someone's child.
You vote, though. But I'm saying if some family doesn't vote,
no,
then they got to give it up.
Your thought is sick. That is perverted.
How's that any more perverted than somebody not voting and saying, why don't you go to Iraq and have an Iraqi blow you up?
It was your choice to go in this cadet.
Yeah, I'm fighting for the country of America, and here comes Joe Citizen. Oh, well, I don't think I'll vote today because I want to go watch Joe Millionaire or something. And meanwhile, I'm going to get blowed up. No.
Oh, you're just on a pity trip or something.
No, I'm not. I'm simply saying you better make with some payment, and I think 48 hours fraternizing with your daughter is equal time.
You really believe that?
Yes, sir, I do.
If you were from where I was raised and come from, someone would take you out in the woods and just beat crap out of you.
Ma'am, I doubt it very much. I'm a trained cadet. I doubt that.
Oh, that doesn't even affect me in any manner.
Well, I can tell you what. Thank goodness you do vote, because if you didn't vote, you know, I'd have to, like, make a decision about whether I wanted to fraternize with you, and it probably would be...
Oh, I would love for you to fraternize with me.
No, thank you. No, thank you, ma'am. I'm ready to eat my own liver for my own country, okay? I'm ready to eat my own guts.
Because you don't even have the right to fraternize with nobody with your choice.
Well, you keep on voting, because that'll save me the job of having to fraternize with you.
You got that right.
All right,
you can fraternize with your mother.
Oh, my mama. You brought my mama into it?
Well, so
you're bringing my mama into it.
Well, you brought everybody's daughter into it.
Only the ones what don't vote.
So what? It doesn't matter. A parent or a child is a parent or a child. So fraternize with your mother and your sister if you
whatever
feel some animosity towards everything.
No, because I'm not into incest and carnal relations with my sister.
You're into something, but it ain't military.
You know what? Leave the military stuff to the military, and you go back to milking getting the bottles ready for the dairy.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Bobby, I'm sorry we don't have much time.
Well, I was led to believe I get to say I'm going to be on the show tomorrow night.
Well, you are, and that's all the time you get.
You're an ass.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Father James McWhorter will be with us. Father McWhorter hasn't been with us for actually about a couple of years, maybe a year and a half. Father James McWhorter, Roman Catholic priest, will be with us with his Team Beat report. And we'll also have later on Chester Shunt's show. Chester is a woodworking artist, and he'll show us how to make something. What's he making tonight, Chris? I forget. Some kind of a thing.
Oh, it's a haunted house facade.
Oh, a haunted house facade? I thought, okay. So that's with Chester Shunt. Riley Davenport's a young man who emailed our show not too long ago, and he claims that his grandmother has, though she is very invalid. Is that you, Riley?
Yeah. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Riley, you claim your grandmother has an ability to predict the future?
Yeah, well, she's been pretty accurate, at least the time I know about. So I wanted you, and I was reading about Mr. Pelton, who's your producer. I wanted him to talk to her. He just said to call you up and have her talk to you, so that's what I'm doing.
All right, so your grandmother is an invalid, is that correct?
Yeah, she had a stroke in 98. She'd not been too conversant. It's kind of semi-conscious, but she made a prediction about 6 months ago when I was talking to her, and I said, can I do anything for you, Grandma? And, you know, can I get anything for you? And
does she live with you?
She lives with me and my girlfriend right now. My girlfriend and I are going to get married, but my mom and dad are split up, and we thought it's better she live with us.
Well, congratulations to you for taking care of your grandmother.
Well, I figure it's the best thing we can do for her right now. She's not doing too good, but...
All right, so you were speaking to her 6 months ago, is it?
Yes, I was, and I said to her, what do you want, Grandma? And she said, well, she didn't really say anything, but I leaned down. I could tell she was trying to mouth some words, so I said, what do you want, Grandma? And she said, she whispered the words applesauce to
me. Applesauce.
Yeah, and so in about 20 minutes, my girlfriend comes through the door, and she's carrying a jar of applesauce, and I thought that was just trippy, so...
So she sort of, in your mind, predicted this?
Yeah, I think she did. I think she did. I've read a lot about how people who are semi-conscious or maybe close to dying can sort of access the world beyond or something. I don't know, but...
So you said, Grandma, can I get you anything? She whispered the words applesauce, and your girlfriend comes to the door 20 minutes later with applesauce.
That's correct. And so ever since then, I've talked to her. So I said to Chris, maybe she can predict the election. I don't know. That was kind of his idea anyway.
And you spoke with Bud, too?
Yeah, I spoke to someone there who is not too swift.
Well, thanks a lot.
That's you, Bud.
Well, I'm not trying to make... But anyway, I...
Okay, so is your grandmother there?
Yeah, she's right here. Grandma? Grandma? She's asleep, but I can wake her up. Grandma? Hey. Get up. Hey, Grandma.
Well, don't push her, man.
No, that's okay. Grandma? Hi. There's a man on the radio who wants to talk to you.
Yes.
Hello, ma'am, and who am I speaking with?
Well, her name's Madeline, Phil.
Madeline, how are you, hon?
Oh, I'm great.
You're great, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let me ask her, Phil. Grandma?
Yes?
Who's going to win the presidential election? Who do you think will win the presidential election?
Applesauce.
She says applesauce will probably win it, so...
What do you mean applesauce will win it?
Well, that's what she said, so...
Well, what do you mean applesauce will win it? There ain't no guide...
What's he talking about?
Don't worry about it, Bud. I'll take care of it. What do you mean applesauce?
Well, no, that's what she said. Ain't there a guy named applesauce?
No, there's no guy named applesauce. She said applesauce 6 months ago when she wanted some applesauce. Maybe she still wants applesauce.
Well, no, I don't think so, because she's not hungry right now. Grandma, are you hungry?
No.
No, she's not hungry, so probably it's going to be a guy named Applesauce who's going to come into the election here pretty soon.
Pretty soon? There's 5 freaking days left or whatever, man, before the election. What, are you telling me some guy named Applesauce is going to file?
She says so.
Where it's possible, Phil.
Will you get out of here, but it's possible. Mr. Davenport, thank you.
Well, can I tell people about my website?
What are you looking at me for?
Aren't you the guy that told me I got a guy who's been emailing saying his grandmother can predict stuff?
Yeah.
Did you just hear what that nut said?
He said applesauce is going to win.
Applesauce. Not George Bush, John Kerry, or Ralph Nader. Some cat named Applesauce is going to win.
Well?
That's exactly what the old bag said 6 months ago when she wanted applesauce. Probably the only 2 words left that she can think about are applesauce. Maybe she's only got 2 functioning neurons in her brain. One says apple and the other says sauce. Did you ever think about that?
How can you go through life so bitter? I don't...
Oh, yeah, Dickman, I'm bitter. 15 minutes, applesauce.
Well...
What are you doing?
I guess I gotta take this shirt back.
What's it say? Vote for applesauce?
I thought I could sell some.
I ain't putting them on my website.
Just as a gag.
I ain't putting them on my website. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back. More to come with Father James McQuarters and the Chester Shunt Show and the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sean Penn. Let's just put the politics aside for a moment. I'm just Sean Penn, your friendly neighborhood actor, and I want to tell you about a place that I discovered that I really believe in and can help families who, well, find the cost of interning a loved one very expensive. It's called Happy Hills Mortuary. You know, nobody, but nobody, is going to tell you that serial murderers are good for our society. They are an aberration. They are an abomination. And yet, from the serial murderer, we have learned ways of burying the dead that can save a family an enormous amount of money. At Happy Hills Mortuary, we take it one step further. We can box, bag, cart, and dump your loved one for only $8.99.95. That's right, box, bag, cart, and dump. If you choose, we can have them dismembered and stuffed into a suitcase and left by the side of a highway. That's right, for $8.99.95, no longer will your family have to bear an unbearable cost at a time when you are grieving the loss of a loved one. We'll take them, chop them up in little pieces, and dump them off the side of a cliffy shoal somewhere where they'll never be found. Or, if you'd like, have them decapitated with the head buried over here and the body someplace out back. That's right, at Happy Hills Mortuary, we box, cart, dump, and bag for only $8.99.95. Or if you choose, your loved one can be wrapped in newspaper and left in a ditch. Yes, Happy Hills Mortuary is sick and tired of families having to bear the burden of an enormous expense. Now we'll box, bag, cart, wrap in newspaper your loved one for only $8.99.95. Boxing, bagging, carting, dumping, and covering, $8.99.95 at Happy Hills Mortuary. Please call our toll-free number and tell them that Sean Penn sent you. I don't believe in a lot. In fact, there's nothing I believe in except myself. But I do believe in boxing, bagging, carting, dumping, and covering at Happy Hills Mortuary. It's where Robin and I are going to be buried, in suitcases, in a ditch, somewhere off of a frontage road. Ask for the Sean Penn Frontage Road Special. Now back to the Phil Hendry Show, my favorite talk show host. By the way, celebrity voice impersonated. I know it's pretty tough to believe, but I'm not really Sean Penn. Jeff Dowder is going to be on the phone with us here in a second. Our 1-800-449-8686 number is to the show, and our www.philhenryshow web address is to our website, and our PHS at philhenryshow.com email address is our email address if you want to be in our mailbag. Dr. Jeff Dowder joins us from Caltech, a professor of mechanical physics. I saw the news story today. It was on Reuters. Remains of a new species of hobbit-sized human found. And, of course, they use that in the headline because of all of the talk about the hobbit and Tolkien and everything. How significant is this, Doctor?
Phil, it's very significant to find people that are 2 or 3 feet high. That's only just a few inches tall. To find people that are only a few inches tall is fascinating. Apparently these remains, Phil, are anywhere from 19,000 to 95,000 years old. The most recent remains were of a female and are found in an island called Flores Island, which is the home island of the Komodo dragon lizard, rather large lizard, which was the one that took the bite, Phil, if you remember anecdotally, Sharon Stone's husband, the Komodo lizard, bit his ass or something. And
could you watch maybe the language?
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe bit him on the butt or something, but what I was going to say is the new species became isolated. Here's the thing, the way a little dwarf people can form. If these are little dwarf-type people and they are living by themselves, they do not interact with normal-sized humanoids or Homo sapiens, they will not have to evolve into a large creature because there's no real predatory species around and there aren't other humans to contend with. So what you're seeing, really, is what the human race would look like if all we ever had was peace and tranquility. We'd only be, like, 2 feet tall. And I don't know if that's good or not. I'm not too sure I would enjoy it. So in a lot of ways, it is an argument for, I suppose, the strife that the human race, what has been a part of.
So you're saying that this small species, which is extinct now...
Yes, the most recent remains are 95 or 12,000 years old.
You're saying that this little species of humanoid, of not even a Homo sapien, not even sure if it was human...
Well, we're pretty sure it walked upright.
Was only 3 feet tall because it didn't have warfare, and so man, if man did not know warfare, we wouldn't be that tall?
That is correct, Phil. You have to understand, one of the reasons why we have evolved the way we have, gotten larger, gotten stronger, is because we've had to contend with each other and the environment. But the little dwarf, the little hobbit-sized, the teeny people will...
Well, what are they called besides teeny people?
Well, the technical term for them is Homo floris, because floris man. They're very much like the early African hominins, which walked upright, but only really, really small. And also little tiny houses, little doors and stuff. So
what do you mean little tiny houses with little doors?
Well, that's what they found.
They found little houses with little doors.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, where are they going to live? So,
well, I don't know, man. If this is thousands of years ago, what do you mean houses? Didn't they live in huts?
Well, no. They found little houses. They found a small carport.
Get out of here! They found a small carport. How about that, man? If we were not warring people, if the human race did not fight, we would not have grown to as big as we have grown because we didn't have to contend with each other. We'd probably still be only about 2 feet tall.
Be tough to reach a bar stool, wouldn't it?
I imagine it would be, but except if we were little tiny people, we wouldn't make bar stools that high.
How do you figure?
How do I figure? Well, let's figure it out, man. If everybody was 2 feet tall, why would they build bar stools that are for 6 foot high guys?
Oh, well, okay.
Good God. Be tough to hit the bar stool. Coming up tomorrow, Bobby Dooley on our...
Better view.
What?
You get a better view.
Better view of what?
Behind the bar, like the stuff you want to drink.
What are you talking about, man? If a guy's only 2 feet tall, then all the bars would only be little tiny bars.
I don't understand.
Are you an idiot or something, man? Why the hell would a guy put up a bar stool for 6 feet tall guys? Hold on. Yeah, David.
Why do you let him wind you up? For God's sake, you get off point all the time. Don't you realize he's just trying to screw with your head?
Is that what you're doing?
A little bit.
See?
Still a better view. You can look down a woman's blouse.
Look down a woman's blouse.
Look at, he's baiting you.
No. Hold on. Now I got you, Dickman.
Henry, don't go there.
No. Now I've got you. Look down a woman's blouse, huh? Well, if you're on a bar stool that's built for a 6 foot high guy and you're only 3 feet tall, right?
Yeah.
Then how am I going to look down her blouse?
She's on a smaller bar stool.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you?
You're right.
I'm always right. This guy winds you up. You let some clown who went headfirst through an oak tree in Ojai in 1990 baffle you and befuddle you night after night. Would you just let it go?
Hey, Phil, how many bar stools does it take?
Shut up! Thank you, David.
Whatever.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Anyway, Bobby Dooley's on our show tomorrow night, along with Steve Dooley, the Western States Homeowners Association. You can pre-order the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD. I listened to it today. I proofed some of the cuts. Man, I'm telling you, if I was just an objective observer, it's choice stuff. It's fantastic. It's a double CD set. We're going to have our skits on one CD, and we'll have the phone calls on another CD, and it still sells for only $20. People said to me, why don't you jack the price this year? Yeah, I could have, but I'm just trying to sell a lot of them as opposed to jacking the price. By all rights, I ought to, because we used to sell it for $20 and it was a single CD. Now we're giving you two for the $20, so hey, whatever. You can pre-order it at www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. And make sure that you recognize that all the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, because that's, in my opinion, that's really, really important. Whether or not you like our show, you're giving to a really worthy cause. This is Chuck. Hey, Chuck, you're on the Phil Henry Show. How you doing?
I wanted to ask you a question. I'm going to a Halloween party this weekend. I can't figure out what to be, so I wanted to get your help on that. And I don't know whether you got any ideas on that.
I don't know, man. I got to go to a Halloween party. I don't know.
Do you have any ideas on Halloween? I was thinking maybe...
You know what I'm going to go as? I'm going to go to this Halloween party I'm going to as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Why don't you do that? Go as a Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Who are you talking to? Hold on for a minute, Phil. Can you hold on for a minute?
Yeah.
I'm talking to Phil Henry.
I don't like
him. You don't like
him? What did she say?
She doesn't like
him. I don't like that man.
You know what? Hold on for a minute. Take it back.
Wait a minute, sir.
No, hold on, Phil. Take it back. Take what back? Take back that you don't like it. I don't like it.
Sir.
Hold on. Take it back.
No.
You dirty.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah! You
did you do?
What?
What did you do?
Strangled her. Man, I've been wanting to do that since 1981. Anyway, what should I go as, maybe a cop or something?
Call the cops, bud. I'm on it.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Just stay on the phone with me, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, go as a cop or something, man. I'm going to go as a Citizens Auxiliary Police guy.
What's that?
This guy on my show.
On your show?
Yeah.
Ain't this Dr. Phil McGraw?
Yeah, this is Phil McGraw.
You ain't got no Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm just asking Dr. Phil McGraw if he knows what to go... Wait a minute, you're that Henry guy.
Yeah.
My wife was right about you. And now she's dead.
Look, stay on the line.
I'm not staying on the line. You're tracing the call, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I just want to,
Get plumbing advice?
Yeah, I want to get plumbing advice.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I am for a living. What do you need?
Well, I'm trying to get a new water heater. That's it. Put into my garage. See, the old one is only about a 45-gallon.
Yeah.
And I want to get a bigger one.
Well, I recommend what you do is, first of all, you want to make sure you earthquake strap that thing.
Absolutely.
Then what you're going to want to do is get all that.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby and Steve Dooley tomorrow night on The Phil Hendry Show. And on Friday night, it's Ted Bell. Monday night, it's the day before the election. Then Tuesday night's election day. Man, you better get out and vote for the right man or something's going to happen bad. That's right. You better get out there and you better take your decision seriously. Don't piss me off, man. Don't do it. Don't do it, Bonds. Don't do it, man. 10 years for killing an enlisted man, Bonds. What movie is that from? Come on, quick!
Platoon!
Right. With the great Francesco Quinn. He's the son of Anthony Quinn? Looks just like his old man, only a younger version. Where's this cat been? He was great in that movie. Don't do it, Bonds. 10 years. You'll be crying on the walls, man. Rip Torn is the actor who was on the Larry Sanders Show. Apparently he had himself, way too much to drink, got stopped by state police, I think, in New York, and got on videotape, was recording those police videos, screaming and acting like a slob. 72 years of age, according to Adam Levy, son of TV's Judge Judy, he's a 72-year-old man with his hands cuffed behind his back for the first time in his life, said defense lawyer Adam Levy, son of TV's Judge Judy. And so I guess the point that this man is making, that of course he would start kicking at a highway cop and fall on his ass and flip off the camera and generally act like a drunken old slob because he's had his hands cuffed for the first time in his life at 72. Something tells me Rip Torn's had his hands in handcuffs before. Maybe cops didn't put him there, but he's had his hands in handcuffs.
Wah, wah, wah.
Rip Torn he's a great actor. But you get to a point in your life, if you're going to drink, understand that these cops, they got video cameras everywhere now, man. They got cameras in the car, they got cameras in the radio, and with good reason, because they've been accused of beating the crap out of people. They've been accused of, and in many cases they have, and in many cases they haven't. In many cases they've been railroaded. He beat me up, he touched me, the cop did this, the cop did that. So the cops, on purpose, I'll never forget, I met this cop down here at the sports arena during one of these road races. They had the L.A. Grand Prix, which I don't know if they still have it. One of the most bizarre events I think I've ever attended in my life. The L.A. Grand Prix. All these sports cars racing through South Central. Yeah, the residents will really relate to that. So in other words, if they don't have enough problems down there, let's get about 9 million people down there with their cars and their smog and their traffic and their crap, and as if anybody's going to actually eat in a restaurant down there or shop at one of their fine liquor stores. No thank you. No offense, but
I ain't going there. Last time I was in South Central, I'd run out of gas. I ran out of gas in a Harbor Freeway. Oh, let's see, about 9 o'clock at night, I was on my way to a Kings game. Run out of gas, get my gas can, walk into South Central. Walk right on in, right off the freeway. It's not really South Central, but it's right off the freeway down there. I'll tell you right now, the guy looked at me like, man, you are asking for it. This cat looked at me like, well, you got some nerve buying gasoline down here. Now, I'm not saying that this is the attitude of black people per se. I'm saying in that neighborhood. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, it could be Irish people down there, but down there, there's some real hostility. I don't give a crap what anybody says.
You're a racist.
Why?
You called him cat.
That ain't racist, you jackass. So, where was I? I was talking about, how did I get on racism and I'm talking about Rip Torn? How did I get on talking about South Central? Oh, yeah, I was down there and I was talking to this one cop and he says, I got a tape recorder, I got everything. He says, I went out and I invested in my own personal tape recording equipment that I keep not only on my person, I have it in the car as well. So I tape record because the camera doesn't catch everything. So I tape record every conversation that occurs in the radio car, and I got it on me so I can tape record everything that I'm saying to somebody so they can't come back later and say this. That. I mean, these guys go, the cops themselves have gone out and invested in this equipment so that people aren't saying he did this and he did that. Why are you supposed to do that? Why do you suppose cops went out and did that? Why do you suppose they started videotaping everything? Why do you suppose cops themselves went out and invested in recording equipment? Why? If you think about it, you can come up with the answer. It's because people, on a regular basis, lie about what the cop did to them. No cop that abuses people is going to run out and get himself recording equipment at his own expense so he can record him abusing people. Not going to do that. He does it to protect himself from people making claims that he was abusive when in point of fact he wasn't. That's why. See, you know, life, baby, it just doesn't go at one speed. It just doesn't go at one speed. I know there's all kinds of rotten cops. I'd like to see them locked up just as fast as anybody. But for the overwhelming majority of coppers out there that are trying to do something decent, man, it really tees me off. It tightens my jaws, man. Word up. When somebody's, and then, you know, after they had that L.A. convention here, I hope they never have another convention in this town as long as this town exists. I hope they never have another convention here. That convention down at the Staples Center was without question the biggest joke that has ever been perpetrated on this city. When you get a whole bunch of 50-something and 60-something old beatniks, guys that still think it's 1968, running around down there at the Staples Center, and they ought to be sitting in an old folks' home with a bib on, eating their freaking applesauce, and instead they're down there at the Staples Center, and the cop beat me up. It's police brutality, I swear. I heard one after the other of these clowns. Then you got Rage Against the Machine. The only thing those guys are raging against is their hemorrhoids. The only thing those cats rage against is the fact they can't get rid of that zit on their forehead for the last 4 years. Rage against what machine? The one that's paying you? Yeah, I know, man. You give away all your money. Yeah, okay. You and Michael Moore, yeah. Sure you do. Man, I wouldn't give... I don't care about politicians' 1099s or their W-4s or whatever the hell, man. I'd love to just take a look at one tax return from freaking Rage Against Your Mama. Take a look at how much jab. I'd like to say, hey, Moore, why don't you make your tax returns open to the public? Let's just see how much, that some of that cheese you made off that movie, dude. You're making some sweet change off of that Iraq war. Talk about profiteering, man. You're making some pretty nice money off of all them dead bodies. So, you know, I can understand why cops, you know, I'm getting tired of this crap. So last night, they got this videotape and they show this guy, Rip Torn, looking like an utter imbecile. Jumping around, flipping people off, looking really for all the world like some bum, just some homeless bum. Now, I recognize everybody will tell you this. You know what? It's just a reflection of society. If that's what happens to actors, imagine how that must happen to many, many people everywhere. True. Many people say, you know, it's just a reflection of society that there's so many athletes, for instance, that are using, like, illegal drugs. And that may well be true, although I don't really think society has a percentage per capita as many crack users as the NBA does. I'm sorry. You know, like the NBA, I bet you could bust it down to about 5% of the NBA players smoke freaking rock on a regular basis. I don't think the human race quite comes up to that. But I will say this, because this gets mixed in. When I see that a guy gets busted for weed, whole different thing for me. Marijuana is alcohol. It ought to be legal. And to even put it in the same category with crack, coke, highly addictive drugs is beyond belief. And, it just shows how stupid we are when it comes to marijuana. Just when we talk about weed now, everything is so freaking overdone and paranoid. It's like you might as well be talking about ketamine. You might as well be talking about highly addictive, just like snorting heroin.
Well, what's the difference?
There's a big difference. So when I see another athlete in trouble with drugs, smoking dope? Nah, not the same thing. Now, he's an idiot for getting caught with it. Yeah, he's a complete and utter, the guy ought to be bounced out of the league just for being stupid, because he got caught with the stuff. If you're an NBA player, man, what are you packing it, keeping that stuff in the car, or you're walking through an airport with it where some, drug-sniffing lassie is hanging around? Next thing you know, you got a dog at the crotch of your pants where you stuffed that baggie. What are you, an idiot or something? That's what I worry about. I don't worry about an NBA, NFL, or any other kind of player smoking dope. What I worry about is the guy being stupid enough to get caught. And I mean stupid. You got to be really can I just say this right now? You have to be among the world's dumbest to get popped for marijuana. Now, I've seen some real brain surgeons light the stuff up in public. Okay, I come from a generation, call me old-fashioned. Maybe it's because back in my day, you used to get 20 years for an ounce of marijuana. 20 years! I didn't say 20 months. 20 years. They catch you with a couple of sticks of spleef. Brother, you're up, man, for like years, right? Now it's like a slap on the wrist misdemeanor. I don't give a crap what it is. I got to walk around through the city square or down in the town park or wherever the hell, smoking on a fat owl. What difference does it make, man? This is a slap. Hey, dude, put that stuff up, man. I don't want... it's one thing, not to have to go to jail for it, but who needs to talk to a cop right now? Do you mind? Hey, yeah, I got a great idea. What? Let's get stoned and then have a cop come over. Great. That's exactly what you want. You want to be just at that nice razor edge of paranoia and have some dude with the wraparound man with no eye shades and the
45-53-45
and the whole big gun just come walking up to you, and the next thing you know,
you lose your mud.
Right, bud. Swear to God. And also getting stopped for drunk driving? Dum da dum dum dum. All that stuff. Watch next week. Talk show host Phil Hendry was arrested today for possession of ketamine while he was snorting Comet out of an Ajax container. All right, 1-800, I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know if we're going to do the rest of this crap. We got Dr. What's his ass? Oh, you mean Father James McQuarters coming on? Well, that sick bastard? Okay, we got Father James McQuarters coming on with his teen beat in just a moment.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time now for Father James McQuarters and what we hope will be a regular feature of our show. It's called Father James McQuarters Teen Beat. And I want to get the father on from Belmar Academy, a Catholic academy in Glendale, California. How are you doing, Father?
Quite good, considering I've just gotten over an allergy condition. I'm doing much better, thank you.
And Father, Teen Beat is an outreach program, right?
For the most part, Phil, Teen Beat is something that I've wanted to get off the ground for a number of years since the molestation and the terrible evil that the church has endured. I wanted to try and bring back to the table a level of trust between the clergy and our young people. And to that end, I created Teenbeat, where I go and outreach with young people. And I try to reestablish trust.
How difficult is it? I mean, with the horrible things that you said, the molestation, and just the terrible things that the church and the clergy had to endure. How tough is it to get the kids' trust?
I can tell you that I've never encountered such a difficult thing in all of my life to just simply walk up to a young person and to say, you know, I want you to know my name is Father McQuarters, and I'd like you to come to a meeting that we're going to have at the school in the auditorium where we can talk about the liturgy. And they run. They simply say it in the vernacular of the children of today. They say, dude, this and dude that. You know, dude, oh, get away from me, dude.
And they say that? Get away from me?
They do, yes. They do, absolutely. And it's such a sad thing to see. And and they'll run.
I mean, they literally run away.
Yes, they do.
Why would they run like that? I mean,
I don't know, Phil. For me, it seems to roll back everything that I've tried to do as a priest. Tried to befriend the young people. And to run from me like that.
They see you coming and they...
Oh, yes, they say, look at that filthy pervert, and they run.
Because they see a priest in a priest collar.
Well, I don't necessarily know it's a priest. And I'll tell you why. The two times I've been out, I should have told you. I wasn't wearing my priest gear. In fact, I wasn't wearing any pants. And that...
Well, why didn't you mention that? No wonder they were going to run.
Hold on, Phil, because...
Why didn't you... They're going to run... You weren't wearing pants and you're walking through a mall.
If I may be permitted to say something.
Go ahead.
Phil, it had been a very difficult week. I had two funerals that day. I'd had three baptisms. And I was taking care of two families that have just lost their mother and their father. And I had literally gotten in three nights a total of perhaps 2 hours, 3 hours sleep. I was running on nervous exhaustion. It was an honest mistake.
Father, leaving the rectory without a pair of pants.
I totally understand that.
But see, you said to me, I don't know why the kids run.
Well, I'm not approaching them in anything out of Christian faith and love.
Yeah, but a kid's not going to know that if you walk up to him nude from the waist down. What were you wearing? You didn't have your priest collar?
I did not have my priest. All I was wearing was a wife beater, and that was it.
All right, now let me get this straight. You were walking through a mall wearing a wife beater T-shirt, and that's it, nude from the waist down.
I told you that I'd been...
As stressed out as you say you were, sir, Father, with all due... No wonder the kids ran.
I certainly could understand them running from anyone who is someone who is the kind of person who would like to touch them. But I'm not that kind of person. I'm a Catholic priest. And the last thing that I would do is touch a child.
Well, the idea of any man walking through a public... I'm surprised you weren't arrested.
I actually was arrested. And
when were you going to tell me that?
Phil, you wouldn't let me get to it.
Wait a second, man. You're starting everything else very bad. Why don't you start out with, Phil, I just got out of jail because I was nude from the waist down. Now let me get into Teen Beat.
The name of the program is Teen Beat. I'm not going to be talking to you about being arrested when I want to talk about Teen Beat.
Look, pal. Coming on my show...
It's Father McQuarters, if you don't mind.
All right, Father McQuarters. You get popped in a mall for walking around in nothing more than a wife beater. You're nude. Kids are running from you. You go to jail, you get released, you get on the phone with me, and you start off as if, gee, I just don't know why people don't understand priests are not their enemy.
Phil, I wasn't arrested for molesting a child. I was arrested for not wearing any shorts. I was arrested for not having any slacks on. But I certainly wasn't arrested for trying to put my paws on a child's wee area.
Well, whatever the trip is, you got to be candid, because you see, this is what has caused the church these problems.
Phil, please don't presume to tell the priest of God what it's all about. I told you, I was very candid with you.
No, you just said to me, kids run from you, man. Kids are running from you because you're nude. Nude!
The fact that you speak to a priest of God that way.
Oh, get out of here.
Would you get that cat straightened away next week on what this show's about? I got to talk to him. So what's new on Teen Beat? Well, I got popped. I was nude in a mall. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Who wouldn't let the good father take a look for an Arby's beef witch?